I think I'm going to move this up because I'm a little taller. Is that okay? I feel like a giant up here. Yeah, you can do that. That's fine. Jimmy is strong. Thank you guys for having me here. It is just an honor to be here. My husband and I came for the first time to Ireland last year, and we were actually here in this service, and then we got to speak at all the other locations in Liberty, and it was just such a blessing. I will have to say, I fell in love with Ireland in fourth grade, and in fourth grade, they made us pick a country and study that country, and Ireland was the country I picked. And I absolutely fell in love with Ireland. And I said, someday, I'm going to Ireland. And last year was our first time here. And we've had such a great opportunity to get to know Noel and Sharon. God has just blessed us richly with their friendship. They got to stay in our home for several weeks this year. And we just had a great time. And so we're just honored to be back here. Next week, my husband will be speaking, and I'll be speaking in Bray. And we're just kind of trading pulpits and get to meet all of you. So we're just honored to be here. During worship, I felt like the Lord, I didn't feel like he gave me a word. He did. And so I just want to release that before I speak the message that the Lord's given me for you. Jeremiah was a prophet. And in Jeremiah 33, we see that Jeremiah was in jail. And the word of the Lord came to him in jail. And this is what I feel like the Lord spoke to me for you all. Let me get it where it's supposed to be. Isn't God good that his Holy Spirit speaks to us? I just absolutely love it. This is Jeremiah 33, 6 through 9, and this is the message version. But now take another look. I'm going to give this city a thorough renovation, working a true healing inside and out. I'm going to show them life whole, life brimming with blessings. I'll restore everything that was lost. I'm going to build everything back as good as new. I'll scrub them clean from the dirt they've done against me. I'll forgive everything they've done wrong. Forgive all their rebellion. It will be a center of joy and praise and glory for all the centuries on earth. They'll get good reports on all the good I'm doing for her. And they'll be in awe of the blessing that I'm pouring out on her. Is that receivable by you guys for Ireland? We're just going to pray into that right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are doing a good work in Ireland. You're doing a good work in Dublin. I thank you, God, that your spirit is in this house. I thank you, God, that your spirit is carried out of this house into the streets of Dublin. And we call forth Dublin saved in Jesus' name. We call her saved in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you wipe sin just white as snow. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your love, for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you turn rebellion into submission to you. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the good things you're doing and the things you're about to do and that ever progressive word that you are restoring this nation back to you. We just thank you for it, God. Amen. Amen. A couple of months ago, Noel messaged Brad, probably about 8 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and he said, I'm going to have Beth speak. And I was like, oh, I thought I was just going to be on vacation. And so I just began to pray, Lord, what is it that you have for Ireland? What is it that you have for Liberty? And he gave me some very specific words, and those words I'm going to share with you today. Ultimately, this message is really just about the love of God for this house. I mean, when I pray for you guys, it is about he just delights in you. He completely delights in you. Last year, we were here, and the Lord gave me a vision. I don't know if any of you were here during that Sunday service. You've had a lot of services since then. But I saw an army of God lined up, just in rows, lined up, soldiers. And these soldiers had their swords, and they had the breastplate of righteousness on. They had the belt of truth. Their feet were girded up with the gospel, and they were standing at attention. And I kept this last couple of months, I've been praying, Lord, what is going on with that army that's going to take the city for your kingdom and your purpose? And he spoke a couple things to me, and I just want to release that to you this morning. In order for God to expand this house, and I'm not just talking numerically, but I truly believe numerically there's going to be a tremendous growth in this next season. It's going to happen. In order for that to happen, this army of God has to fully be surrendered and submitted to God and his plan, fully and completely surrendered. I truly believe that if we receive that challenge to fully submit, that even today there's going to be a quick shift in this house, a quick shift. The season's going to shift really quickly if we walk in full surrender and submission to the Father. And so I'm going to be speaking to you out of just the love of the Father today. This is a harder message, and I started sharing with Brad, and he was like, wow, that's really rough. But you know what? It's not rough when it's given in love. And God loves you all so much that he sees how he wants and desires to use this house. And unless we get in alignment with the Spirit, those things are going to be delayed. Okay? Are they going to happen? Yeah. They're going to happen. Because God loves Ireland. But are they going to be delayed by continued disobedience? Yes, they will. They will, until someone rises up and says, send me. I'm fully submitted. I'm fully surrendered to your will, not my will. Your will be done. And so we're going to talk about that. I want you to be ready to listen. I want your hearts to be open. There is in no way any condemnation in this message at all. The word says this, all have sinned. Everybody say all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word also says in Romans, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So is there condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus? No. The word also says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He no longer wants us to walk in a yoke of slavery. He doesn't want that for us. And when we look in Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 7, it says this, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. And I'm going to include daughters in that. My sons and daughters, do not make light of the Lord's discipline or lose heart when he rebukes you. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises everyone he receives as a son or daughter. Endure suffering as a disciple or as discipline. God is treating you as a son and a daughter. For what son and daughter is not disciplined by his father? Are you a son and daughter? Amen. Are you? Everybody's like, no, I don't know. Are you? He loves you. He absolutely loves you. And he wants to speak to your life today. So let's get into it today. Today I'm going to talk to you about the sin of idolatry. We're going to take a moment to define idolatry, and we're going to rid it from our lives. Amen? I just pray that the Holy Spirit just enlightens in all of our hearts the idols that are in his place that should not be there anymore. Okay? Idolatry is worship or service of an image, either literal or figurative. And when we think of idols, we normally think of graven images, don't we? We think of graven images. And I think about the Old Testament. And I think about those crazy Israelites traveling around the world or traveling through the desert, trying to get to the promised land, and they always fell back into idolatry. Always. And I used to judge them quite harshly. Like, how in the world can you fall back into idolatry when you've been led through the desert by a pillar of fire and a cloud? How can you be so foolish to fall back into idolatry? Or when they saw Moses go up to the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments, what were the people down in the village doing? by the temple. They were fashioning idols. They could see the God of the universe, and yet they came down and they fashioned idols. I used to judge them till I realized I quickly do that myself. I quickly replace the position that God is supposed to have in my heart with other things. It's so, so easily done. Idolatry includes the worship of images, but it's anything we put in the position that belongs to God. If anything is on the throne of your heart besides the Lord, we have an idol. Anything on the throne of your heart besides the Lord, we have an idol. That could be our children. It could be our spouse. It could be our national pride. It could be anything that we put in that place. It's a big deal to God. Martin Luther says this: that to which your heart clings and entrusts itself, I say, really is your God. That which you cling to and entrust yourself to really is your God. So my question for you today is, do you have an idol in your heart? And if so, today is the day of freedom. God does not want you to walk out of these doors with an idol in your heart. Where does idolatry come from? Ultimately, it comes from pride, the sin of pride. Pride destroys our blessings. It destroys our destiny. Pride chooses to disregard the precepts and the principles of God's word. Pride doesn't trust the Father's heart towards us, so we decide to dethrone God from our heart and create a new king to serve. God says he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's word also says that pride comes before the fall. So if we heed the warning of the word here, we can really hear that God, he so loves us that he's giving us a warning. If there's pride in our heart, he's standing in opposition to that pride in your heart. How many of you do not need to have God in opposition to you? Not me. I want to fully be able to see his face and be in his presence and feel his love and his mercy and his grace. I don't need him in opposition. If the word promises that before pride, there's going to be a fall, how many of you know that the Lord is faithful to his word? So there's going to be an opposition when we have pride in our heart, and there could be a fall if we don't choose to willingly surrender. Two specific words that the Lord said to me when I was praying for you all was idolatry and independence. Idolatry and independence. So I began to pray into that, and a couple weeks later, he just said the word self. That's all he said: idolatry, independence, and self. And so I'm bringing that to you. The two specific idols that I feel strongly that could be in our hearts and in this house are an idol of independence and the idol of self. And I believe that these work together. Now remember, there's no condemnation. Jesus is trying to release us from the stuff that is going on. An independent spirit, listen here, an independent spirit partners, or an idol of an independent spirit partners with the idol of independence. And an idol of independence idolizes self. It idolizes self. An independent spirit wants to do things their own way. They don't want to submit to or obey authority. That's just not what they want to do. And it's a dangerous, dangerous idol. It leaves you uncovered. It leaves you unprotected. It's an easy target for the enemy because, honestly, you're standing in opposition of what God wants for you. Let's look at idolatry in the terms of spiritual authority. We can have all kinds of idols in our life, but let's look at spiritual authority. Who is ultimately the authority over us? As children of God, who is it? The Father, right? He is the head over his church. Ephesians chapter 1 says, and God put everything under his feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body. The Father is ultimately our spiritual authority, and we are to submit to and obey His word. Submit to and obey the Holy Spirit guiding. As a Christian, we choose that. When we chose, wherever you were when you became a Christian, when you said, Father, I choose you. Jesus, I choose you. We chose to put ourselves under the authority of the Father. That's the choice that we made. And when we do that, we become a Christ follower. Christian is kind of a newer term, but we actually are Christ followers. And so we're supposed to follow the example of Christ, who willingly, completely, and totally submitted to the Father's will. When we choose to disobey, which how many of you have chosen to do that? I've done it. I mean, you do it all the time, right? I do it all the time, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. Father, forgive me for that. When we choose to disobey, we're choosing to rebel against the authority that God has ordained. Now, remember, when you said, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, you put yourself under the authority of the Father. And when we make the choice, no, God, I'm not going to follow you, we remove ourselves from His covering and His blessing and His protection. So we need to make sure that we're walking in obedience to the Word, that we're dying daily to the things that we want and the idols that are in our heart, removing them, replacing Jesus where He needs to be. Luke 11:28 says this, blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and obey it. So walking in obedience releases blessing over your family and over your life. James 1:22 says this, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. So this shows me that when we have been given the word, we're called to obey it. And when we choose to not obey the word of the Lord, we're deceiving ourselves. Deception always leads to a hard heart. It always leads to a hard heart. So we need to make sure that we're walking in obedience. James 4:17 says this, if anyone knows the good he ought to do and he doesn't do it, it's sin. It's sin. To disobey God is independence from God. You're removing yourself from His covering. It's independence from God, and it's an idolization of self. When we choose to disobey, we choose to say, God, I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing what I want. I'm idolizing myself. Adam and Eve is a perfect example of that. Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. And I think about God as the perfect father. And I think about me as a not perfect mother. And all the mistakes I make, and sometimes you think, oh, I'm just going to screw up my kids. They're going to be such a mess because I'm a mess at times. And then I think about God the Father. He's the perfect father, wasn't He? The perfect Father, He created Adam and Eve, and He gave them a beautiful garden to be in, a beautiful garden. And yet they chose to rebel against God. Why did they choose to rebel? They wanted knowledge. They wanted what they thought was wisdom. They wanted to be independent and to think for themselves. And so they chose to walk in disobedience to God. And boy, that we see that that did not work out so well. So we see that disobedience is rebellion towards God. What does God say about rebellion? Let's look in the Word here. There's so many verses about rebellion. One that jumped out at me was 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness. How many of us find ourselves stubborn at times? Ouch. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So all these things go hand in hand. Is there rebellion in our heart towards God's word and what He says? If so, then we're partnering with the spirit of witchcraft. Is there rebellion in our heart? Is there stubbornness in our heart about something God's speaking to you? Something that you've read in the Word and you're like, I will not surrender to that. I will not submit to that. If there's stubbornness in our hearts towards his word and his what he's speaking, that's iniquity. And stubbornness and iniquity and rebellion and witchcraft and idolatry all go hand in hand. Are you stubborn against God's word? Are you stubborn against the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no room for rebellion or stubbornness or idolatry in this house. There's no room for it. Why? Because his purpose is bigger for you. His calling is greater for you. He has placed a mantle of a warrior on your shoulders. And there can't be 15 leaders in a platoon. There can be one. He needs you as a house completely surrendered to him, which ultimately means he needs you humble. He needs you humble. Humility submits to the Father, his will, his voice, his plan for you. Jesus was all about submission. He was all about self-sacrifice. We're to be like Jesus, completely obedient and completely dependent on God the Father. God is calling this house, Liberty, to be people who are radically obedient to his word and his voice. Radical obedience. Beth, what does that look like? That looks like if the Holy Spirit says it, we don't hesitate, we do it. That's what it looks like. If the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter, and he gives you a number, and you read it, and he's calling you to do something or walk in something, we do it. That's what radical obedience looks like. Obedience, generally, when God sees obedience, he sees love. He sees love, pure love, when he sees obedience. You can say you love Jesus, you can say you love the Father, but if you choose to be independent of his commands, and if you choose to be independent of his word, then you're walking in disobedience and you are lying to yourself. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to do things my own way. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I'm on the throne of my heart. Jesus says it very clearly in John 6, 2 John chapter 6, verse 6. And this is love. When we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love, in obedience. Obedience is love, and love is obedience. Obedience is love, and love is obedience. It's a circle. Only then can God use this house the way he's called this house to be used. There are more people in this nation who need the love of the Father released to them. There are more people. There are more people in your jobs that are hungry and crying out for help, for love, for acceptance. And it's only if you walk in your kingdom authority and you choose to walk in the authority that Jesus has given you and you choose to hold that scepter of the kingdom of God into your job place, is it released. You choose to walk in obedience. Some of us, instead of holding the scepter of the kingdom of God and walking in his authority, we're holding a scepter of idolatry in our heart and self. Can your friends hear about Jesus without you sharing the love of Jesus? You know what? Yeah, they can. But there could be such a delay. Such a delay. Does Jesus love your coworker more than he actually loves your submission to him? Yeah, he does. He died for that person. But there's going to be a delay. He has to position other people in places to reach that person. Wouldn't it be amazing if Liberty just decided, I'm going to be obedient to God. Whatever he speaks, I'm going to do. Whenever he tells me to go left, I'm going left. When he tells me to go right, I'm going right. When he tells me to walk down a street and talk to a stranger and to prophesy and to release what he's given in my spirit, and when we start seeing that happening, you are going to see this city transformed for the love of God. As an American, I totally understand independence. For goodness sakes, we have a Declaration of Independence. I get independence. I understand it. But more than anything, I understand that if I don't submit to God, there is not going to be the blessing on my life that He wants to pour out on me. So I choose to lay aside my independence when I chose to follow Jesus. Is it a process? Absolutely, it's a process. I think a year ago, I thought I was completely submitted to the Lord. Today, I realize I need to submit more and more. Areas of my heart that need to completely be given over to the Lord. Areas where I'm seeing, you know, God, I don't trust you in this space. I need to surrender that. I need to repent for not fully trusting that I'm in the palm of your hand. Fully trusting that every area of my life is completely in your hands and you're sovereign in every area of my life. I know how hard submission is, and I know it's hard to submit to someone else's authority, but when it comes to the word of God, and when it comes to obedience to the word, we cannot have an independent spirit, because an independent spirit, apart from the word, opens the door for destruction. It opens the door. One of the protections that the Lord gives us as a body of Christ are shepherds, pastors, leaders, teachers. He places them in, he strategically places them in our lives. Look what the Lord says, just out of his love for you. Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. In this house of worship, it's Pastor Noel. The Lord gave Pastor Noel and Sharon to you as a gift to the body of Christ. Aren't you blessed by them? He's given them to you. And they submitted to God, and they took a stand, and they started Liberty. And then Rob and Patrice came along, and Stephen and Claire came along, and Louise came along, and they submitted to God's call on their life, and they submit to Pastor Noel and Sharon. That's just how it is. God called leaders and he positioned them here, and in obedience they said yes. And then God calls other people and they submit to the Father and the call of God on their lives, and they say yes, and they position themselves under the leader. But who ultimately is the authority in this house? God. He's ultimately the authority in this house. So when we choose to put ourselves under spiritual authority, and you did that when you chose to become a part of Liberty, we choose to put ourselves under the spiritual authority and the leaders and the shepherds that God has blessed you with. And he's blessed you with some amazing leaders in this house. And we understand that God appoints them and he positions them to be overseers. And they really, truly are a gift to you from the Father. They're not to lord over the church, but rather to be examples for all of the rest of us and how to live out a godly life, how to seek the Father, how to be aware of his presence, how to enter into worship, how to dig into the word. How many of you have grown since you've been in this house of worship? All of you have grown. And that's a gift from the Father to you. They have been a gift to you. On every level, those in authority are never the absolute authority. You're not the absolute authority in your life. And in Louise's life, she's not the absolute authority. God the Father is the absolute authority. And leaders in this house are going to give account to somebody. They're going to give an account to God on how they lead and how they love this house of worship. The local shepherd is a gift to you, a protection and a blessing. Hebrews 13:17 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, and they will give an account for their work. Let them do this with joy and not with complaints, for this would be of no advantage for you." So today I'm talking about idolizing self and independence. And independence from God, independence from his word, and independence from spiritual authority that he's blessed you with. He's blessed you with spiritual authority. What does obey your leaders and submit to them mean in this verse? Beth, please tell me there's a hidden word. Guess what? It means obey and submit. Nothing hidden in the Greek or the Hebrew. It's right there. God has trusted them and trusted them into his care over this house. And he's saying to this body of believers, just obey and submit. And you know, when I hear that, I think there's going to be a reason why. Is God up to something special in Liberty that some of you are going to be like, wow, what is going on? Are they sure they want to do that? Are they sure that's the right decision? Are they sure they're hearing from the voice of the Father? The Lord saying, obey and submit. He's positioned them strategically. Louise has been strategically positioned in this house. Claire and Stephen positioned strategically by the hand of God in Klondike. Rob and Patrice strategically positioned in Bray. Why? Because God is getting ready to do something amazing in this house. Something amazing. We need to submit to their leadership. It's protection for us. So the Spirit of God today is asking for obedience to his word and obedience to his voice. Radical obedience. And one thing I just want to say is don't try to justify sin and rebellion in your heart. We can all do it. Well, I made this choice. Let me just throw something big out there in America. I don't know about here, but in America, when people get engaged, a lot of times they'll move in together before they're married. Well, God's real clear about fornication. He's real clear about having sex before marriage. It's like in the word. It's like black and white. It's not cultural or above culture. Culture might say in America, it's okay for that to happen, but God's word does not say it is okay. And I've sat down with many people and I've said, you're in disobedience to God. There's reasons why he puts things in his word. You're in disobedience. And they will begin to justify their sin choice. Well, you don't understand. Like, if we get married now, then our taxes are higher. Well, God can take care of your finances. Well, if we get married now, then they have rent and we have rent. And so we're trying to save money for our wedding. God is more concerned about obedience and submission to his word than he is about how big and fancy your wedding is. These are just conversations I get to have with people. So let's make sure in this house that we are not trying to deceive ourselves and walking in deception and trying to justify sin and rebellion to God. Is it easy to justify our decisions? Yeah. We all have a carnal nature. We all want to turn from God in certain areas of our lives. But God, the Father, is asking you to repent of that today. There's no place for idolatry of self in your heart in this house. The idol of independence partners with an independent spirit, and that independent spirit partners with self or idolizes self. And God's asking for repentance. He's asking for repentance of idolatry, to repent of pride, to humble ourselves to the point of obedience. He's asking us to honor God, to honor his word, to walk in obedience to his word, to honor the shepherds of this house. church, you guys are so blessed in this house. I've got to watch the services when Noel or Sharon go on live in Facebook. And the people who come to you and speak to you, to your locations, are such a gift to the body of Christ. They're just a huge gift to the body of Christ. Some of the people that come to speak to you would never walk in the doors of our church without a huge check. They would never do it. The Lord has positioned and honored this house so much. And I think sometimes we don't realize how great we have it because it's just normal. You guys are spoiled by God. You're just spoiled. He loves you so much. He's like, hey, I'm going to drop this word into this house. I'm going to bring these people into this nation because I love the people and I love the nation. So you've been poured into in great measure. Can you say amen? Been poured into. And the Father is asking for you to submit to the words that have been given to this house. Submit to them. Stop idolizing your own independence apart from the word. Stop idolizing yourself and surrender to what he has released into this house. And when you do that, things are going to break free. It's going to break loose. I'm telling you, a shift is going to happen in this house when we say, I surrender, God. I surrender. Everybody stand with me today. I don't even know what time it is or what time do you get out? Okay. I was given no instructions, so if I kept you late, I apologize. In America, we have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, and so I'm going to have you do it because that's what we do. But I just want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And I want you just to, I'm going to give you just a moment with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is the idol of independence somewhere in my heart? Is there idolatry of independence in my heart? God, is there idolatry of self in my heart? Would I prefer my own way rather than your way? And I'm just going to give the Holy Spirit a moment to speak. In submission, you'll be given greater authority. In submission and surrender and repentance, you will be a shining light for those around you. And people will be drawn to the spirit of freedom that you walk in. In submission to God, in submission to his word, in submission to spiritual leadership, you are going to walk in greater freedom than ever before. Ever before. How many of you just by raised hand, Lord, I need to repent for idolatry in my heart. Hands all over this place. I need to repent for idolatry in my heart. I need to surrender. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's trust the Father's guidance. Trust his guidance for you. I'm going to pray, and I just want you to repeat after me. The prayer that the Lord gave me for you as you walk through a prayer of repentance, okay? Father, I repent for idolizing my independence over submission. Forgive me, Father. Father, I renounce a spirit of independence from my life. I break agreement with it. I break partnership with it. Spirit of independence, you must go from my life. You are no longer welcome in my life. You are not my friend. I will no longer idolize my desires over God's word. I will no longer partner with anger and frustration when I don't get my way or when things don't go my way. I willingly choose to replace that demonic partnership with the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want to be filled by you. I give all of myself to you. I choose to surrender every part of my heart to you. God, I humble myself before you. I choose to submit myself, my desires, and my wants to you. Father, I choose to die daily to my will. I choose your will. Father, I choose to walk in obedience to you, and I place you as Lord over the throne in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for what you've done in this house today. Thank you, God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that draws us in with your loving kindness. I thank you, God, for freedom. It is for freedom that you set us free. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting the best for us. Thank you that we can find rest in our soul as we just surrender to you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for peace. Thank you that your Holy Spirit reigns in this place. Just speak a blessing over this house, that it will prosper even as your souls prosper, and that every prophetic word that was uttered in this house will come to pass. That time will increase, that things will be revealed in a faster measure. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. If we could just have some worship on, John, in the background, that'd be great. Beth, I just want to thank you for coming, for preaching here today. It wasn't an easy word. It was a word full of me. And, you know, I heard something like this word that you delivered probably about 15 years ago. And it was at a conference. And I remember the presence of God coming. And it was so tangible that I fell to my knees, you know. And God was saying to me, are you willing? Are you willing? And in my heart, I was trembling. My knees were knocking, you know. And I remember saying, Lord, I want to be willing, but you have to make me. And if that word has spoken to you today, we want to open up the altar here. And we want to invite you to come. And I want to ask you, are you willing? Are you willing to surrender? Because can I tell you, when you do surrender to God's ways, the blessings come. The blessings come. As Beth spoke about in Luke 11, when we walk in obedience, God releases the blessings. He releases the blessings. And when we guard it in our hearts, God will continue to release his blessings. So church, I want to invite you to come. If the message spoke to you, please come. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this place the way you came in. The Holy Spirit is here. And if he's nudging at your heart, if there's something pressing on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we love you, Father. Father, we love your word, Father God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And I thank you for your people here this morning, Lord. Now, Father, have your way in this house, Father. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord.